Some Michigan lawmakers are seeking votes in new places after an independent commission redrew the state's legislative boundaries. A few districts, like Michigan's 13th Congressional, no longer have an incumbent campaigning there because of redistricting. There are still some familiar names vying for votes in the 13th. They include longtime Detroit political consultant and radio host Sam Riddle. He was convicted of bribery and extortion while working with the Detroit City Council about a dozen years ago. But Riddle tells WDET's Quinn Kleinfelter his past mistakes helped him realize what issues must be addressed in the future.
First of all, we need people fighting on behalf of America's poorest and one of its blackest congressional districts. That's the 13th congressional district in Michigan. I want to go to Washington to fight to increase Social Security payments for seniors, Medicare for all, forgive student loans, and more funding for breast cancer treatment. Black women today die 40% more than white women from breast cancer. I also want to go to Congress to codify a woman's right to choose abortion and fight poverty with basic income payments. I'll be focusing in on single mothers, housing, daycare, literacy, because Detroit, for example, has one of the nation's highest functional illiteracy rates, approaching 47% or more. And parenting is just critical, and getting the funds so that people know how to parent. There's a direct correlation between poverty and poor parenting and crime. And I also will want to get federal incentives for police to live in the communities they serve. We'll pay for all that by taxing the filthy rich, greedy big oil, and cutting the Pentagon budget and redistributing those military funds throughout urban America, focusing in on Detroit.
You've been in politics one way or the other for a long time now as an advisor.
Half a century, 50 years.
Well, knowing that, when you look at the field right now, I mean, there's no incumbent, but there's a lot of candidates running for the 13th. In your view, is it a good political decision right now to try to enter such
a
crowded field?
This is a great political decision on my part because there is no incumbent. However, I'm up against candidates with big money. One, a scientist, Cherie Tanidor, has already put up $5 million. Another, a state senator, Adam Ollier, is enjoying funding from the Israeli lobby. In many ways, you know, this campaign justifies the need for public financing of campaigns at the federal level, because no one should be allowed to buy a congressional seat. And that's what could happen in this campaign for 13th congressional district.
I know you've been in some kind of rough and tumble campaigns in the past. You had often a pretty high profile in Detroit, but you've also had some high profile, well-known problems too, including being convicted for bribery. When you're running for Congress right now, do you have any fears that some of these candidates will use that public record against
you? Well, they could feel free to do it, but all I ask is treat me the same way that CNN treats John Dean, felon. Treat me the same way the networks treat Martha Stewart, felon. Treat me the same way Michigan treated philanthropist Al Taubman, shopping center magnate. I mean, what I'm saying is that a lot of us have made mistakes. I'm right now being featured in a Department of Justice video helping newcomers into politics navigate the potholes of public corruption. Been there, done that. I also served 4 years honorable discharge in the United States military as a Vietnam War era veteran. What I'm saying is that I am a human being. I've made mistakes, and the public is now positioned to benefit from my mistakes as we go forward to fight the highest poverty level in America in Detroit and gain a toehold, if you will, on all that America can offer by cutting that Pentagon budget so that instead of killing, we can do some healing. I don't back off from my past. I've had a lot of good things in my past, too. Graduating from Michigan State University after dropping out of high school, obtaining a Juris Doctor from the University of Michigan Law School. Look, again, at John Dean every day on CNN after having worked with Nixon, after having served time in prison. Look at Martha Stewart doing a lot of good. Look at Al Taubman, one of the biggest philanthropists, and may his soul rest in peace, and his role after he left federal prison. Life is not over after one has made a mistake. Life may just be beginning in terms of public service, and that's what I intend to do with the rest of my life.
Things have been changed now, obviously, because of redistricting, but the area that you're trying to represent, was represented a lot of it for a long, long, long time by John Conyers. Now, you're running what you have called kind of a poor campaign with a rich message. What is that message, especially to people that used to vote for John Conyers all the time?
It's very simple. Jobs, justice, and peace. That used to be the slogan of the John Conyers that I worked with when we met with Attorney General Janet Reno. You know, I still represent the family of Isaiah Scholes. It was in the spirit of John Conyers that I took on that family. They lost their only son, only black student killed at Columbine in 1999. I met again with Janet Reno to get it declared a hate crime. That didn't happen after I had met with President Clinton and the First Lady. But it was John Conyers that taught me how to deal at the top levels of government. I can recall the congressman and I meeting with Janet Reno to go over the logistics of the Million Man March. That was an interesting conversation and an interesting meeting. But for John Conyers, I would not be able to dream and work so hard for a seat in the United States Congress.
It's a long time now, it seems, since John Conyers was in, especially politically because it's become so divided. You obviously, if you would get in, would be a Democrat. You think you can work across the aisle with Republicans?
There's no question that I could work across the aisle. One of my best clients was Colorado Secretary of State Vicki Buckley, black woman, Republican. She's the one that assigned me as a volunteer to work with the family of Isaiah Scholes in the aftermath of Columbine. I met with the top leadership of the National Rifle Association and the Secretary of State, a black Republican woman, Vicki Buckley. I've worked with Republicans in Colorado. I've served as the first black person on the Joint Budget Committee, a Republican-dominated legislature. If you want to get things done for the people in Detroit and in America, you're going to work across the aisle, because the problems of America, you can't do anything if you're working from a divided position.